Turn with me now in your Bibles to the longest chapter in the Bible. That's Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We are looking at what God has marked out is the path of growth for us in 2017. My prayer is that your desire for this year is that you would grow in the Lord in every way. And on that path, there are three means of grace, three paths of growth. One is prayer. We dealt with that last Sunday, need for prayer. The second one is today. It is the Word. And next week, Lord willing, we will have the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The means of grace, the means of growth as Christians is through prayer, the Word, and the sacrament. So we'll have the sacrament of the Lord's Supper next week, and then we'll return after that to our study in the book of Genesis. Psalm 119, we're going to begin. I want to let you know we're going to be jumping around in this psalm to show you what is there. But we're going to begin with verse 9 and read through verse 12 of Psalm 119. Pay very careful attention to God's word as it is opened up before you this day. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Let us pray together. Lord, you are indeed great and blessed, and greatly to be praised and blessed in our lives. And Lord, one of the channels of blessing you have for us is through your word. So we pray, God, that as we look into this glorious hymn of praise to your word, that we would grow and that we would grow strong as Christians. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you about a boy named Vinny. Now, Vinny was once an orphan. He was a street child, a kid with no home. One day, Vinny was taken off the street. He was adopted into the home of a wonderful man by the name of Sam. And what Sam does for a living is this. He's a trainer for boxers. Early on, Sam notices when it comes to boxing, Vinny is a natural. Sam takes Vinny to the gym. He trains Vinny to be a professional boxer, and this young man becomes one excellent boxer. Vinny wins fight after fight after fight, championship after championship, all the way to the point where he's fighting in his first heavyweight title fight. Then something happens. Vinny stopped eating. Well, not completely. Sometimes he would snack on a small amount of junk food. But days would go by and Vinny would not eat. Every day his father warns him. He says, you know, son, if you don't eat healthy, you're going to be weak. You're not going to be able to stand in the ring and fight. The son assures his daddy, said, Papa Sam, I'm eating all I need to eat. Don't worry, Dad, everything's going to be okay. Well, by the time of the title fight, Vinny has lost 28 pounds. And he only qualifies by 1 pound to even be a heavyweight. Still, he insists he can handle himself in the ring. Well, you probably know the rest of the story. Vinny was absolutely pounded by his opponent. He was so weak, his punches could barely break an egg. He had no stamina. He could hardly hold his arms up. It was an easy first-round knockout. This young man had great potential. He had a great trainer, a world-renowned trainer. He had abundant resources at his disposal, a gym he could go into at any time. But he lost the fight because he was weak, and he was weak because he would not eat. Friends, let me tell you who Vinny is. You know what's happening this year, 2017? We have a huge celebration coming up. It's a celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We give thanks for the Protestant Reformation, not only because apart from that Reformation, this church would not be here, but this Reformation provided an abundance of Bible cuisine for every Christian. See, Vinny is a metaphor for the average Christian in the average Protestant church today. As a matter of fact, Vinny could be anybody in this room. You see, in a number of ways, Vinny is you. He's me. You know, we were once orphans, but because of God's grace in Jesus, we are children of God the Father. Our Heavenly Father has adopted us. Our Father puts great potential into us. God even trains us in His gymnasium. We have a name for that gymnasium. It's called Lakeland Presbyterian Church. As we travel down life's road, we have all experienced some victories over the world, the flesh, and the devil. But perhaps lately, you've noticed something. Perhaps you've noticed spiritually, morally, you're not quite as strong as you used to be. You've actually lost some fights you should have won, and weaker opponents are now really intimidating you. Your father's still the same. You still have great potential. You still go to the gym. Some of you come to this gym and work out 3 times a week. But spiritually, we're 99-pound weaklings. Why? Because we're not eating right. We're not nourishing ourselves on a steady diet of God's Word. You know, we snack on books, pamphlets, daily breads. We pick around the Bible here and there, but the problem is we're not internalizing God's Word. We're not grazing in this book the way a sheep grazes in a field of grass, mentally chewing on the Word, inwardly digesting the Word to the point. And I love this phrase by Charles Spurgeon, ingesting the Word to where our blood runs bibline. You see, Bible nutrition makes you weak. Spiritually, morally, emotionally. Much too weak to take a strong stand for the faith. Too weak to fight the good fight of faith. I know every one of you, if you're not doing it right now, you will face trials at work, at home, with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers, with your neighbors. And deep inside, you know as well as I do, if a really strong challenge, if a big trial steps into the boxing ring with you, you have about as much a chance as the late Mr. Rogers would have going 15 rounds with Mike Tyson. You see, there's a difference between a strong Christian and a weak Christian. And the difference lies in claiming your reformational heritage, sola scriptura, the Bible alone. The difference lies in this one factor. Here it is, internalizing God's Word. Not just getting into the Word, but getting the Word into you. You see, anybody in this room can open a Bible and start reading. But the difference between a Christian and a strong, healthy Christian, a child of the Protestant Reformation, is that we internalize God's Word. So here's the challenge. It comes to us from Psalm 119, and that's this. Friends, because of the advantages of getting the Bible into us, we can, this year, become healthy, strong Christians. You can be stronger at the end of this year than you are today if you internalize God's Word. Now, how do you internalize God's Word? I just want to briefly use the hand illustration. Some of you have heard this and seen it, but here's how you get the Word into you. First of all, you got to listen to the Word. Every time you have an opportunity, whether it be a sermon or a Bible lesson on tape, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, Bible studies, you listen to the Word. And secondly, the second finger here, you read the Word. Every day you should be in the Word, reading the Word. Third finger on this hand is you study the word. And the difference between reading and studying is actually looking into what the word is saying and asking yourself, what is the word saying to me about the character of God? What is it saying to me about my duty towards God? And then, don't let this scare you away, memorizing God's word. You can do it. You know how many song lyrics you've memorized. You know how many movie plots you've memorized. You can do it. So you're hearing, you're reading, you are, you're listening to, you're reading, you're studying, you're memorizing, and then fifth, you're meditating on the word. You're chewing on it. You're seeking to make it part of what is in your mind and heart. Now, I want to motivate you to do that this morning by offering for you from Psalm 119 four ways the Bible describes itself. Four ways the Bible describes itself that I hope will motivate you to want to internalize the word. Notice in the first place, the first way the Bible describes itself is this. The Bible describes itself as preventative medicine. Preventative medicine. Look at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 11, I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Friends, we need to heed and hide the Bible in our hearts so that we may overcome temptation. And here's how it works. When you read the word, when you meditate, when you memorize the word, what you're doing is that you're programming your mind with information. That's a key word. Information combined with the Holy Spirit. And those things work together as a smoke alarm to alert you to temptation. One of the best recollections of this is in a book by the name of Honesty, Morality, and Conscience by Jerry White. And he talks about when he was on a tour of duty in the Pacific. He said, you know, a lot of soldiers with me, since they were thousands of miles from home, took that opportunity to fall into immoral behavior and to be unfaithful to their wives. He said, what kept me away from that was this. Before I went on that tour of duty, I was part of a Navigator's Bible Memory program, and I memorized Psalm 139. And I remembered that Psalm 139 said, there's no place on this globe I can go that you're not there. I may be thousands of miles away from my home, but God is right here, right there with me, watching everything I say, everything I do. And he said that memorization of Scripture kept him from falling into immorality. Most inspired example you'll see of this is Jesus in Matthew 4 being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Every time the devil tempts him, you know how he begins the counter move? He says, it is written. It is written. Here comes another temptation. No, it is written. Jesus, think about this. Jesus internalized knowledge of Scripture, and it armed him to do battle. Now, let me ask you a question. It's not meant to put you on the spot, but to get you thinking. If the Bible verses you have memorized were bullets and Bible chapters were guns, how well armed would you be against the devil? You see, when fighting temptation, when fighting the tempter, God's word is your ammunition. It's the stash of guns you have. You must get into this word, but more importantly, you must get this word into you or you will not be armed. You've got to listen to the word. You've got to read the words to get battle ready. You've got to study the word. The battle strategy becomes very clear when you study God's word. You memorize God's word and you're armed for conflict. You meditate on the word. And with the power of the Spirit provides, you know what? You stand this year a very good chance of standing up to every temptation the evil one can throw your way. The Bible is preventative medicine. That's why we need to get it into us. Notice in the second place, the second description is this. The Bible describes itself as wealth and treasure. Wealth and treasure. Look at verse 14. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your... That's verse 16, excuse me. Verse 14. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Turn over to verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. One more verse. Turn over to 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. You know what our problem is in this culture? We mistake price for value. You know, if it's expensive, it must have a lot of value. The Bible you have open before you disproves that. See, the value of the Bible has nothing to do with the price of the Bible you're reading right now. You can buy a Bible for just a few dollars. As a matter of fact, the Gideons would be more than happy to give you a Bible. While you can purchase a beautiful, great, leather-bound study Bible with cross-references, study notes, online access, concordances, maps, bells, whistles, everything, for the price range between $50 and $100, you can get one of the finest Bibles you've ever owned. Now, that's all to say, whatever the cost of your Bible, you will not find a better value anywhere than this book. Beatles used to say, I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. And you know the kind of love the Bible speaks of, the love of God in Christ for His people? You cannot buy that love for any amount of money. As a matter of fact, money can't purchase anything of spiritual worth. Have you ever thought about that? Money cannot buy you a lasting purpose for living. Money can't buy you forgiveness. You won't find meaning in life maxing out your credit cards. Money cannot buy absolute standards of right and wrong. As a matter of fact, money tends to blind us when it comes to ethics. Money can buy you a home security system, but money can't buy you eternal security. Having lots of money may make you feel significant, but the only significance you will ever have comes from what you learn about yourself in the Bible. And it really is true when it comes to eternity. I have yet to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. There's a lot in this life and the life to come that money cannot buy. But friends, the Word says when we get the Bible into us, when we internalize the Bible, we actually enter into a story that points us to Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and eternal life. As a matter of fact, here's a metaphor for you. Think of God's Word as a treasure map showing you where to find the greatest treasure there is. And that's a priceless relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus. Hey, did you know what? You have an inheritance. And you can read all about it in the Bible. It's a inheritance that no one can take away. It doesn't rust away or fade away. And did you know? In the Bible, you read that Jesus, our bridegroom, is coming back one day to claim His bride. And we are the bride. Jesus is coming back to claim and to keep for eternity. You see, you're not going to realize your wealth unless you listen to the Bible, unless you read the Bible. Why don't you try this? Read the Bible the way you would read the will of a very rich relative. Study this Word so you won't miss out on any of the awesome inheritance you will receive one day. Friends, a living hope for us is as easy as internalizing the Bible. Third way the Bible describes itself is this, is preventative medicine. The Bible is wealth and treasure. Look at verse 24, and then I'll tell you the third thing the Bible is. Notice verse 24 says, here now, Psalm 119, 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Third, the Bible describes itself as our counselor. Now, everybody in this room needs guidance. We need direction in life. And truth be known, we go to a lot of sources for guidance. Some of us go to friends. Some people go to their beautician. Some people go to a therapist, advice columnists, books of advice offered by successful people. Unfortunately, some people consult their horoscopes every day. You know, there's an abundance of sources you can consult. But the Bible is the only source guaranteed, never to give you bad guidance or point you in the wrong direction. You see, people you know can offer opinions about what you need to do. But as Mark Twain once famously said, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. No human counsel is infallible. There's always a chance that whoever's telling you what to do just might be wrong. See, only God can give you infallible guidance. You know what's great? Again, here's another metaphor. Think of God's word as a counseling office. It's open all day, any day of the year. No appointment needed, no number. Of course, here's the problem. If you never go in here, then you're going to have problems. You're going to run into trouble. Because God is qualified to give you counsel on any given situation you're facing right now. Counsel to do the right thing. And here's why. Other people, no matter who they are, can only know you from the outside in. They know what they see, what they hear, what they observe. God is not like that. God knows you from the inside out. He knows what makes you tick. He knows you better than you know you. So if you really desire guidance for living, then listen to the word, read it, study it, memorize it, meditate it, internalize it. There's a fourth way the Bible describes itself. This is the final way, and that's this. Bible is preventative medicine. It is wealth. It is treasure. It is your counselor. Look at verse 105. This may look familiar because you've sung it a number of times. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then on my Bible, just right across the page from that, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. That is, it's like clicking on a light in the room, clicking on a flashlight. It imparts understanding to the simple. Fourth, the Bible describes itself, preventative medicine, wealth, treasure, counselor, and light. The Bible describes itself as light. Now, in God's word, light refers to a word of identification. 1 John 1:5, God is light, in Him there's no darkness at all. You open God's Word, you're not dealing with pious opinions or religious preferences. You're dealing with the ultimate source of light. You see, God is light, and therefore what He speaks is in our lives a light shining into our life. It's a word of identification. This is your light. Also, light refers to a word of illumination. You know, especially as we travel down life's road, and the Exodus journey we'll be getting back to soon, God provided a pillar of fire, that is light, to lead His people through the wilderness at night. And in much the same way, God gives us the light of His Word to lead us through the wilderness of this ethically and spiritually dark modern culture with all these mixed up standards and bogus values. You know, if you've driven anywhere, you know one of the primary functions of light is to make the road easier to follow. I haven't been down I-55 in a while, But I remember going from Reading to Laurel, when you went through Laurel, it used to be the highway went like this. I remember one time a storm took out the light on that highway, and there were many accidents. Because without light shining on the road, you can't see anything. And without the Bible shining on the path before you, you're going to run off the road. You're going to have an accident. God's Word is your lamp, your light, shining out ahead of you. So you don't have to wander around the darkness. You don't have to feel your way through life. You don't have to stumble through. You have the light shining on your path to guide you. Also, light in the Bible refers to a word of exposure. You've been to a play, the stage is dark. All of a sudden, boom, there's a spotlight. You see what's on the stage. You see, light is something used to expose what's in the dark. Now, I want to tell you something about the furniture in our house. In our house, the furniture looks pretty good. I don't notice a lot of nicks and dents. A few, but not many. Barely visible. Light's dim. But one day, I took some pieces of furniture outside. And I saw all the imperfections. It looked pretty rough. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You have this terrible device known as a makeup mirror. It has lights around it. And you look into that makeup, you say, oh my goodness, I have crow's feet. Bags are so big under my eyes, I could go for a 3-week trip. My skin is sagging. Looks like it's melting. I stand in front of a mirror. I notice it's gray. It's gone. Light exposes what's there. See, morally, spiritually, we all tend to default into the darkness of self-deception. Or we live in the dim light of self-justification. And left to ourselves, we're prone to deceive ourselves, to justify our actions. No matter how wrong they are, we find some way to excuse ourselves. And we realize, as the hymn writer said in the first hymn this morning, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God our love. We're like a car out of alignment, pulling this way. Again, going back to light, we have this device in our home. It's called a LED flashlight. And if you don't think your house is dusty, come and borrow my LED flashlight. You will shine it on your furniture and the dust will be high definition. Friends, that's what God's Word is. It is a strong LED light exposing every speck of the dust of iniquity in our lives. And by itself, that would be depressing. But here's something else. God's Word also reveals the one who is the light of the world, the one who shines in the darkness of our life. He forgives our sins. He puts us on the path of obedience. But here's how are we going to know even what the path is, unless we get the Word into us? Hear the Word. Every time you get an opportunity, sit under the reading and hearing of the Word. Read the Word. Every day, I hope you're following some kind of Bible reading plan. Study the Word. Find out what it says about God and about your duty to God. Memorize the Word. Hide it in your heart. Take it with you. Meditate on the Word. Think it through. See how the Word ultimately is about one person, about Jesus, and how every road in the Bible eventually leads to the cross and to the open grave. You see, this year you have an opportunity to become very strong, very healthy. You have an opportunity to really appreciate your Protestant Reformation heritage. But that's only going to come if you internalize God's Word. I want to ask you this morning, will you be one of those people? When this year ends, will you be one of those people who have internalized God's Word and you're much stronger, or will you be a Vinny and get knocked out in the boxing ring. Friends, be strong. Get the Word of God into your life. Internalize God's Word. Don't skate on the surface. Dive in deep. Get the treasure. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Word tells us in no uncertain terms that with the temptations that we face in life, that the medicine is right here before us, the preventative medicine. And Lord, when we want something of value, we look in so many places, but yet it's sitting there on our coffee table, sometimes gathering dust. Lord, Your Word is wealth and treasure. Lord, we want guidance. We're confused more often than not. Lord, help us to realize the guidance we need is right here in Your Word. And Lord, we are living in a very dark culture, a lot of darkness in our lives, but yet we have a light that we can shine to illuminate our path, to expose our sin, and to point us to the One who can forgive our sin, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be people that come to this church to hear Your Word as often as we can, that read Your Word, that dive into Your Word and study it, people that hide it in our hearts, and then chew on that Word, meditate on it, make it part of who we are. Lord, help us to be strong Christians by getting the Word into us. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.